Rav Shechter. We are in Eretz Hatzvi Simin Yadalid, and we were learning this amazing piece on Isser Sota Labayla, which introduced us to the idea of Miktsas Ishus, right? The answer to the question is, are you married or are you single, is that there is a third option, that there is a possibility of having Miktsas Ishus, that there's that one is partially married. Right, we said, for example, when a woman becomes a sota labayla, if a woman in Rachman al son does a terrible, makes a terrible decision and becomes, and cheats on her husband, so is she married to her husband? Sort of, meaning yes, in the sense that she's still usher to the rest of the world, but no, in the sense that she is now usher labayla as well. Normally, being married involves two parts. There's a iser to the rest of the world, but then there's also the heter labayla. So we were discussing that notion, that idea that there could be such a notion called miktsas ishus. So Rav Shechter points out the sugya and kiddushin of Samach Vav, where the Gemara discusses ishto zinsa be'erechad v'shosik mahu. So do we assume an erechad is enough to asr the woman? So the Gemara tells us, Abaye says ne'eman, Rava amar eino ne'eman. Abaye says the erechad is enough, is believed. Rava says no, of course not. Why would an erechad not be believed about an issue of sota? Because it's a davar she'be'erva. Davar she'be'erva always requires shnei edim. So what's the machlokas about? So Shechter points out, pashtus is, everyone agrees that davar she'be'erva requires shnei edim, whether it's l'kiyum ha'davar, like by edus kedushin, where the couple isn't married unless there are two edim there, or by gerushin, where there isn't a divorce unless there are two edim there, or whether it's l'bira davar, just to figure out the facts. But Abaye holds that a sota labayla is just not called a davar she'be'erva. That Rava would say, of course you need to aid them, it's a davar she'be'erva. Abaye would say, I agree, davar she'be'erva needs to aid them. But determining that a woman is a sota isn't a davar she'be'erva. So we have to understand, like, what's that about? Why would you argue whether a sota labayla is called a davar she'be'erva or not? What's the machlokas about? So Rav Shechter points to Chuvus Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Simon Kuf Chav Dalid, where Rabbi Akiva Eiger has machlokas with the Chavz Das, whether Mamzerus is considered a davar she'be'erva. Do you need Shnei Edim for Mamzerus? Do you consider that a davar she'be'erva, or is it just Stam, like an Isser? And in general, how many Edim do you need for Isurim? Erecha Neman B'Isurim, right? Why is it that when you go home and your mom cooks you dinner, that you're allowed to trust that it's kosher? Right? Why don't you say, Mom, you know, where are the two Edim that saw that you took things out of the packages? Right, try this. I'd like to see where the two Edim and everything's kosher. Why is it that you're allowed to trust? Because Erecha Neman B'Yisurin, she's believed to tell you that it's kosher. So the Sefer Shev Shmaitza, of course, famous Sefer, written by the same author as Ktsos, good. So he wrote the Shev Shmaitza. These were seven shiurim that he gave. Anyone know the story? His Sheva Brachos, exactly. During his week of Sheva Brachos, he figured he should speak at each Sheva Brachos, so he gave these long shiurim that probably took 7 hours each to say at each of the Sheva Brachos. I hope the food was as good as the Torah at the Sheva Brachos. So in Shev Shmaitza, Shmaita Vav, Perek Tes Vav, of the sixth day of Sheva Brachos, Perek Tes Vav, he takes it as a davar pashut that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is correct, that Mamzerus, of course, is a davar she'be'erva. It requires Shnei Edim. So according to the Shmaitz and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you understand very well the machlokas Abaye Rava. Abaye would hold the davar she'be'erva as if you're made about something that relates to Gilei Arayus, or a Chalos Ishus, or a Hafka'as Ishus, right? Creating Ishus, removing Ishus. So if the Eidus is on Gilei Arayus, to be made that a woman is an erva or that she's not an erva to a certain guy, so if that's a davar she'be'erva, you require two Eidim. And according to Rava, any Eidus that relates to a chalos shame on the gavra, meaning you're identifying this person as having a new status, as opposed to chalos on the chaticha, to asre a particular chaticha, to say that this is asre, that's asre, but to say, no, you have a status change, that's the definition of a devash be'erva. And that's why making someone a mamzer, a chalal, a shvuya to a kohen, a sota lebaila, so that's included in the devash be'erva according to Rava, and you would require shnei edim. And that is the shita of the Machna Ephraim as well in Hilchas Eidos, but he writes that the shita of the Rambam seems to be not that way. Because the Rambam writes in the 16th paragraph of Hilchas Sanhedrin that a zona lekohen is not a davar she'erva. It's like other isurim. Zona lekohen. Even though it would seem that that's a status issue. She has a chalos shem zona, so it's a status, and yet eid echad is ne'eman. So the Rambam holds explicitly that even though she's nivela lepasala and there's a chalos shame zona on the person, nevertheless it's not a davar she'erva. So that seems to be that a different assumption of what we call a davar she'erva. So how do we explain that assumption, that shita? So according to the Rambam, what Rav Schechter suggests is what you have to say is that a davar she'erva means something else entirely. And in general, you have to raise the issue of when it comes to an Isra Shvuya LeKohen, it's because of a Cheshash that maybe she had Bia with the guy and she became a Zona. And the Gemara says explicitly that a Shvuya LeKohen requires two Eidim. So how could it be? How does it even make sense that a Zona LeKohen, you're only going to require one Eid, and a Shvuya LeKohen, you require two Eidim? If the whole concern of a Shvuya is that she might be a Zona, so how could it be that a Zona the Kohen is only going to require one aid, but a Shvuya the Kohen is going to require two aid? So Machna Ephraim is mitarets the Shita of the Rambam, and he says that there's a difference between an Eishes Kohen Shenishves, a wife of a Kohen who's taken into captivity and becomes usher to her husband, because in such a case there already is an Eishes, there's a marriage there. And when the marriage is destroyed by her becoming a shvuya, that's a davar she'erva. Why? Because the definition of davar she'erva in this context must be that it's something that's affecting the existence of a marriage, as opposed to, let's say, a single girl becomes a zona. So it's true, she can't marry a kohen now because she's a zona. She was nivela lepasala. She's a zona. She can't marry a kohen. But it didn't destroy any existing marriage. And therefore, maybe it's not a davar she'erva. So it's dafka by a pnuya, a single girl, is taken into captivity, or is nevelas lepasala. That's where the Rambam says, eid echad is ne'eman. Because it's not nogea to ishus, it's only nogea to asur, to kuhuna. So that's like shari surim, that's not like a real davar she'erva. And based on that, according to the Rambam and the Chavis Das, that both according to Abaye and according to Rava, a davar she'erva might be about Eidos Ishus or Avkas Ishus. I mean, this whole machlokas, Abaye and Rava, that we started with, a woman is mezana be'eid echad. So is that enough? Is eid echad enough for znus of a woman? So it could be that everyone agrees that a davar she'erva means, is it going to affect the Ishus? But what are they arguing about? How much of an effect on the Ishus it has to have. Because what happens when a woman cheats on her husband? What's the halacha? A woman cheats on her husband, the halacha is she is now asr to who? To both the baal and the baal, right? So, is she still married? Yeah. But she's asr to her husband. So the Ishus has been partially severed, but not entirely severed. Ooh, so maybe that's the machlokas. Davar she'erva means something that affects Ishus. But over here it only half affected the Ishus. Maybe it's machlokas in shiurim, in how much of the Ishus has to be affected in order for something to be called a davar she'erva. Maybe that's the pshat in that machlokas, that according to Rava, even Eidos that's going to be mafkia miktsas Ishus is considered a davar she'erva. And that might be the same inyan as what the Machna Ephraim writes to be mechalik between a pnuya that's held taken into captivity and an eishes kohen that's taken into captivity, because the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos tells us that an eishes kohen that's ne'ensa, an Eishes Kohen that is Rachman al-San that's raped, her husband gets Malkus for sleeping with her because she becomes Asher to a Kohen, even though by Yisrael it wouldn't be you wouldn't have an Isra Sota Lubayla unless she did it Baratzo. But by an Eishes Kohen Shenansa, aside from the Isra Zona the Kohen, there's an Isra of Sota Lubayla. So we said Isra Sota might be based on that notion of Hafka Seishus. So that's totally in that Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, exactly whether Edus Sota is considered a Davar Shebe'erva because it's Mafkia Miksa Seishus that comes along with it. So based on that, Rav Shachter raises the following issue. The Nemuka Yosef in the first part of Yevamos raises a suffix by an Eishes Kohen Shenensa, and then the husband dies without any children. So imagine that. A woman is married to a Kohen. Nebuch, the woman gets raped. Right? So now the halacha is right on the spot. A woman married to a Kohen, the woman gets raped. What's the halacha? Asher to her husband, right? Asher to a Kohen. What if that Kohen then dies and he has a brother and they don't have any children? Do you do Yibum in that situation? So on the one hand, there is a Kal V'chomer that we discussed last week. If she was even Asr to her husband, who's normally Mutter to her, then for sure she should be Asr to her husband's brother, who normally is Asr to her. So the Beis Shmuel raises the question from a Gemara in Yevamos that says Beferish that an Eishes Kohen Netzenensa is Asur LeBayla Midin Sota, right? Why is she Asur to her husband? Because she's like a Sota, and by a Sota we paskin she cannot do Yibum because of that Kal V'chomer, right? So if that's true, what kind of suffix is there? Of course she should not be allowed to do Yibum in this case. Meaning if the whole reason Neser's Kohen, that's Nansa's Asur to her husband, is because we label her a Sota, and we know the halacha that a Sota Labaila cannot do Yibum when her husband dies, so shouldn't it be obvious that an Eishes Kohen Shezinsa should not be able to do Yibum, not Shezinsa, Shene'ensa should not be able to do Yibum when her husband dies? So says Rav Shechter, maybe the Nemuka Yosef holds that even though it's Pashut, that there's an Iser Sota when an Eishes Kohen Rachman al-San is Nansa, but what the Nemuka Yosef is not sure about is maybe the nature of that Iser is not exactly as the nature of the Iser Sota when a woman is Mizana. Why? Because what's our whole Yisod that we're dealing with? That when a woman becomes a Sota, what happens to the Ishos? When a woman's mizana, what happens to the ishus? It's partially broken, right? Is that going to be true as much when a woman is raped as it is when a woman cheats on her husband? Has a woman broken the ishus when she's raped? So maybe not. Maybe the woman, it's true, an isser sota is still going to apply to the kohen, even if Rachman al son, she's raped. That's a breaking of the ishus, or that's a separate iser. So maybe that's what the Nemuka Yosef is saying. That dafka, when she's mezana beratzon, we assume that the ishus is partially uprooted. But an ishus kohen that's nansa, even though she has a shame sota. If your definition of davar shebe'erva is what's a shame gavra, right? So she has a shame sota, and there's an iser tuma, but it's not a hafkash a ishus. And therefore, maybe you don't have that whole Kal V'chomer of Maseches Yevamos. Maybe that's only when the first Ishus is partially uprooted, like we explained last week. Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, Simin Yeralf, Sivkat and Gimel, right? And Neshis Kohen, that's Nansa, is Asura Leboel. And even if you assume that Neshis Yisrael Shenansa is Muteres Leboel, so the Chalkas Mechokik is not sure about that. So the Chora says, Rishat, it's very difficult. The Gemara says, Beferish and Yivamos, and Neshes Kohen Shenensa, her husband gets Malkus if he sleeps with her, Mishum Tuma. So of course she should be Asr Leboel. If she becomes a Sota to her husband, of course she should become, have the same din as a Sota to the Boel as well. But based on what we just explained in this Mukhe Yosef, you understand why it's not so Pashut. Because it could be that the Chalkas Mechokik holds that in order to Asr her to the Boel, you need a bia that causes a hafka'as ha'ishus on the Baal. Meaning, what creates the Isra Leboel? When this Boel caused the ishus with the baal to be severed in some way. But maybe when an ashes kohen is netensa, it hasn't caused a hafkasa ishus. It's caused an isr labaila, mitin sota, mitin isr sota, and a shame sota, but it hasn't caused a hafkasa ishus. So that's the whole suffix of the Menucha Yosef. And maybe you could say, even though there's an isr sota, but since she was not mezana baratzon, there's no hafkasa ishus at all. And based on that sugi and kiddushin, even by Nashus Kohen Shenensa, there's the Chavaz Das would hold there is a Hafkas Mixus Ishus against this chiluk, but it's not that could be the whole point of contention over here in the Tut Stadim in the Nemukei Yosef, in the Tut Stadim in the Chalkas Mechokik. So that's what Rav Shachter suggests. Maybe we'll stop it there because we're at the 15-minute mark, and maybe we'll finish up the piece next time.